Thank you, all of you. Can you hear me? Fine, all right, fine. Come, let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even before we knew you, you knew us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a name. Thank you that our name is actually engraved in the palm of your hand. And wherever we are, Father, no matter how high or how low, in whatever profession we have, you know us, you have given us a name, a family, a character. You have enabled us through all these years to walk and to walk step by step close to you. So help me this morning as I share with my brothers and sisters my walk with you for the last 40 years in the field of medicine. And help us, Lord, as we listen to think through about our own lives and how you are molding us again daily. And as you have given us so much, we ask, Lord, that you've also given us eternal life. And as you have given us eternal life, now you have given us a testimony. And as we come to the end of this series on walking in your kingdom, we pray, Lord, that our testimony will always glow in whatever profession we have, and we will always be lights wherever you have put us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bye. I accepted Christ at the age of 16, and at the age of 18, I was admitted to the National University of Singapore to do medicine. So I will just go through with you some aspects of my life. It has been 40 years, and I have to stop at 1:30. Am I correct? No. Okay, all right, fine. We'll worry about when I stop later. And what I thought I'll share with you today, since we have come to the end of the series, God in a Certain Kingdom, it covers all of us this morning. And what I would like to actually do is I'll just take you through a series of slides about my life, and then I will close us with certain key points as to how we ought to persevere in the kingdom of our living King. Are we okay? Fine. This verse, which is behind me, maybe I'll move to the side. Medicine is a profession for those who love to do medicine. But when you go into medicine, there have been many subjects, there will be many things that will be taught that are new. And they were very new to me: anatomy, physiology, biochemistry. And there were so many preclinical subjects that I had to learn. But this verse that I'm showing you on the screen, I hope you all can see it behind. Maybe I'll move. Are you all okay? Can you all see this verse? I've liked this verse since the day I started medicine because it has got anatomy inside, you know. All right? First thing, it tells you to pay attention to what I say and listen. Listen covers our ears. Never get it out of your sight. Your sight is your eyes. Keep them within your heart. Your heart is the center of every decision you make every day. And they are life. We all want to be alive. They are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. Above all, our Lord gives us a warning: guard your heart, because from your heart is the wellspring of your life. So whenever I had difficulties in studying, whenever I had to walk through in various subjects from the first year all the way to the final year, and for those of you who are in the medical field, you will understand it's such a journey, but sometimes you don't understand what to expect. You don't know what to expect. And you, no matter how hard you try, you will either leave the exam hall elated or elated minus, you know, because it depends on how you wrote, what you did, what you did not do. I do not want to go too much into the details as a medical student, but I graduated in 81. And after graduating, all right, I went through what is equivalent to a residency program, as what we call now. And I decided to do internal medicine. And from internal medicine, I decided to sub-specialize into rehabilitation medicine. Rehabilitation medicine is a field whereby you deal with people who have suffered from injuries, from strokes, from fractures. And you must have the ability to give them life, to give them a focus, to tell them to go on, no matter what it is, because our Lord loves you, our Lord looks after you, and our Lord takes you through all these various illnesses. Was it a time of easiness? No, it wasn't a time of easiness. We had night duties to do. Some of our night duties were about 16 to 18 hours, and we had to actually go day by day to each of the field of medicine. And in many, many times, when you're dealing in medicine, you're dealing with people. You know? People are 40 to 50% part of our lives. And when you tell them something, you know, sometimes they will look at you and sometimes they'll say, really? Is that it? You know? Or they will ask you, you sure or not? You're very young, you know. I'm not now. I'm talking of a few years ago when I had a bit more hair on my head. You're very young, you know. You sure? No. I want to listen to someone else, you know. Someone older, someone more mature looking, you know. Yeah, all right. So we went through these periods and up to about the first 8 years of my field in medicine, after becoming a resident, essentially in rehab medicine, I and Kamala had a heart's desire to go and serve in Northeast India. We have always had a heart's desire to go and serve in Northeast India. Now, missions has always been part of our life, but I want to just share with you, you don't have to cross an ocean for missions. There is a lot of needs in this country as well. But because I'm sharing with you, if I leave out the aspect of missions, it won't be very fair. So what we decided to do was this is about 10 years after graduation. Okay, yeah. These are my two children. They are now 26 years old. I'm not sure if they're in the audience. They're Anand and Jeevan. We decided to go and serve the Lord in Northeast India. We had to work out with the Northeastern authorities where to go, and I had to get a approval from the Indian Medical Council. I had my postgraduate qualifications and we went. We had to go because the Lord put it on our heart that there was so much of needs. This is about 28 years ago. There's so much of needs all over the world. And everyone was telling you, sure or not, you want to go. You all are so young. If only you can stay, you can grow up, become a consultant, and then you will go. Or you sure or not, you want to go with two children who are 6 months old, you know. Look how pathetic they are in the photograph. You just look at them, you know. You know, they need to grow a bit more. They need to run. They need to walk. And then you want to take them to, of all the countries in the world, you know, you want to take them to Northeast India. So we went ahead. We did not wait for our children to be 4 years old or 40 years old. We didn't wait. I was at the age of about 34. I didn't wait until I was 68 to go to the mission field. I decided with Kamala that we will give our youth to the Lord. We will not give our leftover years to the Lord. There's nothing wrong in giving your leftover years. But when you are young, you are dynamic, and you have a heart's desire to serve. And I repeat, you don't have to cross an ocean. There are a lot of needs here, and the Lord has blessed our hands with the ministry of healing. We decided to go. So I'm just going to show you the next 6 slides of just some snippets of us in Northeast India, and then I will bring you back to Singapore. All right, where did we go to? We went to Old Delhi. Old Delhi, most of you may not have been there. It is about 30 miles away from New Delhi. It is a Muslim-dominated area. There are about 90% Muslims, 10% Hindus. And this was the main hospital, St. Stephen's Hospital, which was about 450 beds that was there. And I went in as a junior consultant to work essentially with a team of people. And these were the people we were sent to. We had a heart's desire to go and to touch these lives of these people who were faced with plenty of things. And being Hindus, all they want to do is to live a life so that when they get reincarnated, no matter how rough or tough the life is, when I get reincarnated, if I'm good, I will be reincarnated into a better birth. Okay? And there was a whole amount of villages all around Old Delhi. And this was the group of people we were called to go to. Now, not all of you will be called to go to different groups of people. Some of you may be called to other areas, but this was the group that we wanted to touch. I will share with you how we touched their lives, but maybe, and this was the team of people I had to work with. I have never worked with this team of people, and from 92, 93, 94, I worked with this team of people, and the most gracious man to me is the man who was standing with the suit. His name is Dr. Lalit Mehta. He was a Hindu, and he was very accepting of Christian ways, and he worked with me throughout this whole 3 years there. One thing I learned as a believer in the kingdom is that you must model the values of Christ. There are many, many things that Hindus worship. Hindu worship bees, Hindu worship monkeys, and there's a monkey god as well. On the hospital, there were various areas of worship. And believe me, this is a Christian hospital. But because our population was with Hindus and Muslims, there were various areas of worship around the hospital, and you must be very careful when you work with other races and other religions. First thing, of course, try not to kick a beehive. Second thing, of course, try not to disturb a monkey. And thirdly, of course, do your very best not to pass comments when people worship in a different race and a different culture. I repeat again, in the kingdom of the Lord. So I worked with this team of people. Moving on, not only did we work, we wanted a ministry. Because if you don't touch the lives of the people you are working with, and just now only, I think we covered about the cell group. Individually, you are alone, but in a cell, you are very powerful. Because you work with everyone who can touch other people's lives. So Kamala worked with this group of medical students and doctors. I worked with another group of people, okay? And whatever it is, we tried to meet on a weekly basis. And by the way, we had to learn a brand new language on a mission field. We had to learn how to speak Hindi, okay? We are both Tamils. We come from southern India. And we had to learn the language. And the Lord watched over us in our ministry, in our working. And this was the way you're going to touch the lives of people as you work with them. All of them are still, some of them are still there, but just some snippets. Again, these were the people that we went to. And sometimes if you work in Northeast India, you will see many of this. You know, your vegetables, anyway, you have to go and buy. There's really no Shop and Save or Sheng Siong there. You have to go to the roads and buy your vegetables. You have to go and to the market and you have to see how the chicken is killed, skinned, and then take the chicken back with you, you know? All right, yeah. There are many things that we did, okay? So these were the people, and we spent a very fruitful ministry there as a medical doctor. Was it all roses? Well, let me just share with you three things. During the summer months of April, May, and June, the temperatures are very hot. They are 46 degrees. And whenever you go to the mission field, the most important friend of yours is a bucket. You need a bucket because you need to save water every morning. And you better save water before the pump runs out, you know. Because if there's no pump and you wait to come in the evening, there's no water as well. And for 3 years and 3 winters and 3 summers, we brought up our children. Yeah, I mean, there's no starvation. There's no malnutrition. There's nothing, okay? In fact, if you look at them now, you'd be amazed that they were brought up in India for 3 years, okay? Essentially, this was how we had to bathe, how we had to toilet, and how we had to share things. One thing that I learned very much from India in community services. Secondly, floods. During the monsoon time, you will be flooded. And let me explain this to you. The floods that you have in Northeast India is very, very unlike Singapore. Okay? The water in Singapore at least will go down. You know, in some of these areas, the water remains at 4 feet. And you have to go to work. You have to come back. You have to do plenty of things. Has it changed in the last 28 years? Well, it has changed because the government has changed. I think Modi is quite good in terms of infrastructure, but corruption is still the number one. 92, 93, 94, as we were serving one of the most corrupted governments in the world, you all were serving the new Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong. Simple, huh? Very simple. But I can tell you, Prime Minister Goh is very different from Narasimha Rao or Narendra Modi. They are very different. And in the city, you will see some of these things. Oh, lastly, come our friends. Essentially, what happens after the floods come down and after all the dirt has settled, you will meet animals. Okay, and of course, they look so attractive, you'd want to have pork chops with them. But let me warn you, we are very careful in Northeast India in eating pork because the pork and the ducks are usually feeding on the rubbish and the excreta of people. And if you are not careful, oh, please don't get so surprised, Singapore waters are just as dirty all around, okay? All the fish that you eat every day comes from Singapore waters, and Singapore waters are the most dirtiest in the world. When you go in, you cannot even see 4 feet. So don't fool yourself that everything is in Old Delhi. Yeah? It's actually right at Singapore as well, okay? Because of the pollution and because of the dirt, okay? But we had to be careful because you try not to be a living sacrifice when you're on the mission field. You know, you want to be alive, you want to serve, you want to work because we're covering the kingdom mentality. And you can't be falling sick because you are supposed to be a medical person. You know, the worst thing when doctors fall sick, everyone will say, but he's a doctor and he fell sick. And then they'll be, ha, 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 ha. Okay, but basically they don't understand that we are also blessed with human bodies. And as we serve, as we work, it happens like that. Fine. So we came back from India. Subsequently, I joined Tan Tock Seng Hospital. All of them are my patients that we worked through spinal cord injury. Moving on. In 1998, I was given a golden opportunity to move out into the community. I had been literally I'd been a very senior staff in Tan Tock Seng. I'd worked there for 10 clinical years. And I heard that there was a very small hospital in the east called St. Andrew's Community Hospital. They only had about 70 staff. And they were going to grow to a 200 and 300 bedder hospital. And I love pioneering work. And I love continuing my field of medicine in pioneering work. So I moved to this hospital and I've been the director of this hospital for about 20 years. This is under the Anglican Diocese. What do we do? Essentially, we still continue in the models of care in terms of spinal cord injury, in terms of stroke, in terms of head injuries. And sometimes many of these are very brutal and very heartbreaking to the people. My youngest stroke has been a 13-year-old girl who is a glue sniffer. My youngest cancer patient has been a 22-year-old girl who was doing her JC. Okay? So please don't think that only old people get old diseases and die old. We are very, very foolish. All diseases come upon us at a very young age. We cultivate it, we move on, and if you feed rubbish into your body, you will become rubbish. So you need to be very, very careful how you guard your body. All right, yeah, so the patients that we work with, we work as a whole team. And through this whole team, that is how we deliver rehabilitation to our patients. And has it been a journey that has been very fruitful? I enjoy my profession of rehabilitation medicine. And I think I have a certain personality. When I want to pretend I don't understand what you are saying, I will pretend that I don't understand what you are saying. You know, and I will just put on such an intelligent look, you know. And I look at you, and then you repeat yourself because you think the Lord only gave me 1 year, but actually I've got 2 years. And sometimes it's good that you don't understand fully because as you go into this profession of medicine, you will find that there are many, many controversies that will come about. Alternative medicine, acupuncture, sure or not can we heal? Or even the household of God can be sometimes an enemy of yours, you know? Because the household of God will say, don't trust all these doctors, you know, you come to me. So we have worked with many, many of these groups of things. But what I want to share with you this morning, having worked as 36 years as a physician, all healing that comes to our bodies comes through the gracious hand of either physicians, surgeons, alternative medicine, technology, or by confession of your sin. There are many, many reasons why we fall sick. And this is what I've realized in my working in medicine. But as we walk through, if we have a heart, as I shared with you the first verse, if you have inclined your ears towards the word of God, and you have not hidden it from your sight, and you put your heart in the center, our Lord will just walk and walk and walk with you. Has it been a very fruitful time, the last 20 years working in St. Andrew's Mission Hospital? Yes. The only issue is that you will always have, you know, various junior staff, senior staff. And we have grown from a team of 70, we are now 610. We have grown from about 50 beds to about 240. And we are actually partnering Changi General Hospital. And so what we always have to tell our staff is this, as I want to share with you. In medicine, you always need, there are always giants around the place, you know. St. Andrew's is quite small. St. Andrew's is situated next to a giant, Changi General Hospital. If Changi General Hospital is not enough, you've got the Ministry of Health. If the Ministry of Health is not enough, you have ministers, you know, who will always be making policies about healthcare, you know. And we're always declaring war, you know. We declare war. Singapore is always at war, you know. War on diabetes. But we have not been able to fight the basic war. We are fighting mosquitoes. To this day, 50 years, we still cannot win the mosquito, you know. All right? So be very careful when you see glamour, you know? Statements. Be very careful. Only fools enjoy walking, moving around in a wheelchair, you know. And wheelchair and wheelchair. All this is rubbish. When you look at the media, guard your health, guard your mind. Because sometimes we like to brag about a lot of things that we are not capable of doing. For the last 50 years, we have not even been able to stamp out cigarette smoking. And although we portray that we have been able to do it, all you need to do is to go to Orchard Road any Saturday. You will see people from the age of 12 to 18 smoking and smoking and smoking. What have I learned from the healthcare field? Okay. I have learned that essentially our Lord is the healer. Our Lord has always remained the healer, whether we were here, whether we went out to India, and whether we came back. And our Lord is the one who is the master builder of all healing. And as we walk with Him, He will guide us, He will look after us. Believe me, in these last 36 years of walking with Him, it is too short a time to cover such a long span. That's why I'm just covering some key issues with you all. But what I want to give you is also, I want to give you just some warnings. One warning. Be very careful of noise. There's a lot of wastage of mouth, and there's a lot of talk that goes on, you know. At any meeting that you go, this I realize this in St. Andrew's as well. When you come for any meeting, there'll always be people who are smart, and there are always people who are smarter than you, no? And people feel by talking, when we articulate, we are the best. And usually in a meeting, when you make decisions, hey, do we open this ward to those that come from a different form of an orientation? How about HIV? How about drug abusers? Yeah, we have opened our ward, yes. We bring in HIVs, we bring in drug abusers, we bring in people of various orientations. But to make the decision, there was a lot of noise, you know. And you need to be very careful, because when there's a lot of noise, the ones who speak the most amount of noise usually win. Always remember this. If Moses had listened to the majority report, are you all familiar with Numbers 13? There were spies that went out to the land of Canaan and came back. And there was a majority report and there was a minority report. If Moses had listened to the majority report, nobody would have crossed into the land of Canaan. It was the minority report that Moses listened to. So as a leader, as you come through the profession, as you go through your night duties, and sometimes it's very lonely, because leaders are very lonely, you know. So whenever you see Pastor Harley, smile at him, okay? Because there are many things that are in his heart and mind that he cannot just openly share with everybody. It's the same thing. We are very lonely because in front of you, we must appear strong. I've got a whole team of 15 doctors that I do ward rounds with, you know. And you must be strong and you must make decisions. You must make correct decisions. And the decisions must be lasted for 24 hours until the next day when the ward round is done. So sometimes there's loneliness, but the Lord has been very good. He will always come alongside. He will always sense this. He will guide it. Many times you work many, many hours. In our profession, we work non-stop, but we are 24-hour ground staff. And some days you just want to know, when can it stop? There were certain night duties that we used to have, admissions after admissions after admissions. And you were hoping that, you know, when will it stop? But it won't stop. It will go on the whole night, and you've got to get up the night, and then you've got to walk through, you've got to go through the next day, and you must always appear fresh. Can you imagine if you were to go and visit your patient, and, you know, and instead of examining the patient, you fall asleep in the patient's bed because you're so tired, you know? You understand? And the patient will be wondering, hey, who is the patient? And am I the patient or are you the patient? You know, it would be quite startling, you know? You can't. You have to walk through. But most important, we are the mirror images of the face of Christ to our patients. From the front door to the hospital, all the way into the community. Many of you work in various fields of healthcare. You may not be a medical person, it doesn't matter. You could be another type of a person. But as long as you work in the healthcare field, you are the face of Christ to people who have a need who come into your life for your healing. That's important. So be careful of noise, because noise has a way of really disturbing your mind and you cannot make decisions. So you need to be careful when you make noise. Secondly, be careful of accolades. Okay, accolades, I think you know this man, all right? And I mean, don't get fooled by the flowers. You know, he has a saber sword right next to him, waiting to cut the hand that reaches for the flowers, okay? So don't be fooled by these images. You know, we all want to be leaders. We all want to rise. We all do not want to work as the junior most doctor in the ward. All of us aim to be a consultant, you know? In all my years, I've worked with more than about 1,000 medical officers. Some of them have risen and risen and risen. Be careful as you rise. Because when you rise, you forget who your God is. You forget, you think everything is me, you know. I, me, and mine. I am the best. I am the greatest. I made the decision. See, in the ward rounds, when you do, everyone will say, Dr. Menon made this. And then Dr. Menon, the great name, will go in the case notes, you know. If 240 patients, you know. And when you see that name, you must be very careful, because you get very elated, you know. You get, wow, wow. And you need to be very careful, because as you rise, you will also fall. Because as you have been singing all this time, from nothing he knew you. He gave you a name. Your name is very, very important. And your name is engraved in the palm of his hand. He gave you a character, and some of you are very colorful characters. Many of you here, I've never worked with you, but even if we work, it will be a very different thing. He gave you a family. He actually gave you a status and an education. He has given you eternal life. That's why he died for you. But now, you have a testimony in his kingdom. So this morning, what I've just come to share with you is, I said, it's a very short sharing about how our lives are molded and how in the healthcare field, we must guard ourselves, whether we are overseas, whether we are here, whether we are learning from the general ward rounds or whether we rise up. And the last warning, in addition to noise, in addition to status, family, okay? From the time they were born, and of course, this is just to let you know, Anand and Jeevan are in this picture. They didn't stay behind in India. They are here. From the time our children have been born, we have brought them to the household of God. We have carried them through all areas of worship. We have taught them how to worship. Okay? Our children are not puppy dogs for you to put an iPad in front and choo 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 choo. You are the most foolish parent I can ever imagine. They are gifts given to you by the Lord. You are a caretaker and you have to look after the gifts. And you have to return them to the Lord one day. Your children are your children until you go to the Lord or they go to the Lord. And most important, you must also, same thing, as you have got eternal life, you must share it with them. And they will grow, they will grow. The same child you taught how to write may one day write something not very nice about you. The same child you taught how to speak, one day will speak back to you. No? In fact, speak more words than you can ever imagine. No? You know? But don't worry, you take your comfort in Ecclesiastes, out of abundance of words a fool arises. So don't worry. And then you just be calm about the matter. Don't be too rude to your children. Remember, they learned all dirty habits from you. Okay? So you must walk through with your children. But not only that, you need to give them an education and a lifestyle. So it's very important that as you stand in the kingdom of our Lord, your family also has to stand in the kingdom of our Lord. It is no point you only knowing the Lord and your family does not know the Lord. It's going to be a vast separation. And we need to understand this because the whole series about the kingdom of the Lord, I think Pastor Harley has designed it so that whether you're a teacher, whether you're a musician, whether you're an IT person, whether you're a healthcare field person, whatever you are in the kingdom of the Lord. And if you want to remain in the kingdom of the Lord, good. But your family must come alongside. Kamala has been the anchor at home. I have been the anchor in all other areas. And as we walk through. Children have a very smart habit of knowing which parent is for them and which parent is for minus against them. You know, and children can have a way of walking through many of these situations. But we are blessed and we will walk through with them. So kindly remember this. As you serve in the kingdom of the Lord, as you have an education, as you have a calling, healthcare field, doing in medicine, walking through, it is quite important that you guard yourself and guard your family. Another point that's coming, there's a lot of noise now, you know. Oh, can I marry Steve? My name is Adam. Can I marry Steve? My name is Lisa. Can I marry Misa? You know, because, you know, I am really tired of all these male and female components and their parts. If the Lord wanted you not to marry a woman, he would have left the man with a giraffe. Simple. Okay? In Genesis as such. It is very clearly written in the Word of God that our Lord made a companion for us. Okay? It is in Genesis itself. And he was the first surgeon, excellent surgeon, you know. Excellent. He put you to sleep. And when you woke up, wow, there was a lady right in front. And that is a woman. That is why we should be very careful with our families and how we let our families pick the choices. There are two other young ladies in this photo. Yeah, pick the choices of their life. It's not just about you in the kingdom. It is you and the Word of God being instilled in your children and being testimonies outside. That is quite important. And of course, now there's the she-God syndrome that's coming about. Are you sure God is a he and not a she, you know? If you were to read the Word of God, everything is a he. That's why I repeat to you again the very first verse. You need to keep his word in the center of your life. If you keep his word, whatever profession you work in, and of course you want to rise, you want to be able to not always be the lowermost down the food chain, the Lord will enable you. I was never trained as an administrator. I was never trained as a teacher. And I was never trained essentially to be so articulate as the way I'm articulating to you now. I was just trained to be a doctor. And for those of you who are part of the medical profession, or those of you who know doctors, doctors are generally very nice people, you know. We don't go around bragging, talking. We're actually very quiet people. We got to study so hard. So can you please don't disturb me? You know, I'm already disturbed, you know. I got to study and do a lot of things. But the Lord has watched over us, but he's the one who will channel and look after. So in closing, I would like you all to just, if you could just turn to Jeremiah. I'm just going to read a few verses from Jeremiah chapter 17. Oh, actually, I have the verses already on the screen, so maybe I'll just read it for you. This man, Jeremiah, is an amazing man. Okay, he spent all his time in prison. Okay, if you study the whole life of Jeremiah, you'll be amazed, you know. But yet from prison, he could come up with such amazing words of wisdom. He even made an investment, you know. And 70 years after that, he went and took out his investment, okay. So this person, Jeremiah, came up with some of the most beautiful verses, which let me read for you. This is from Jeremiah 17, verses verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'll leave the first two verses out, but I'll talk about the remaining verses. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Let me share with you, if you're talking about the kingdom, your confidence has to be in Him. I told you St. Andrew's is a very small hospital, and when you look out of the hospital, you will see many, many big giants, you know. Many, many big giants all around, you know. But if you look beyond the giant, our King is in residence. And our King is the one who guides us every day in our ward with our staff. It's very important who you focus on. Yeah. Secondly, it is important that you are like a tree planted by the water, and you must have roots. If you have walked with the Lord for so many years and your roots are very shallow, whenever a crisis comes upon you, and the medical profession has had a few crises, we've had the SARS, we've had the H1N1, we're always preparing for various crises, emergency, others will come alongside. But the Lord will be the one who will give you your wisdom, how to guide, how to walk through, what to do. Same thing in all professions. But you must be rooted. If you are rootless, there is a very, very sad state to be in if you are rootless. But if you are rooted, it is important. Heat is going to come. That is the next verse. And for all of you in the medical profession, please understand this. Heat is going to come. Okay? But when heat comes, your leaves will remain green. And drought. It's not 1 month of drought. In the year of drought. And believe me, when we are in our profession, sometimes you feel dry. Sometimes you don't feel appreciated. Sometimes you don't feel that people understand you. You are not alone. Everyone in every other profession has this. In the year of drought, you will always bear fruit. We always want to bear fruit. Why don't we want to bear fruit? We want to bear and give it back to the Lord. That's the most important thing. Lastly, this was just covered in a song. It says, I, the Lord. Please understand this. In our work, although there are many hierarchies of work, from the simplest to the most complex in medicine, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. For those of you who are fretting over exams and exams and exams, just to let you know, that word came from the Bible. Examine. Okay, so don't worry about your exams. Wrong thing to say for someone who has finished all his exams, to those of you who are sitting for exams. Okay, it's a very bad thing. You just forgive me. I'm going to close very soon. But examine comes from the Word of God. The Lord always tells you, examine yourself. Examine your motive. I, the Lord, examine. So whenever you're sitting for an exam, that is the key thing. But what does the Lord do? He examines the mind. He will reward you according to your conduct, according to all that your deeds deserve. So this morning, I just wanted to give you a snippet of my life, my family life in Singapore, in Northeast India, and back in Singapore again. I could have stopped anywhere, but I wanted to share with you. It has been a journey of about 40 years. I started in medicine at the age of 18. I'm now 60. But it hasn't stopped yet. It hasn't stopped yet. We continue on in this journey. But if you know who your God is, if you know His name, if you know His calling, if you know His focus, then hold on to His hand and walk carefully with Him. Because He will check, He will walk through with you, and He will take you through. Okay, are we okay? Yeah, maybe I'll pass this time over to Pastor Harley. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Menon, for that very encouraging reminder. A lot of warnings, but something for us to take home.